Okay, on both sides. The sugyas begin on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, about eight lines from the bottom. They continue all the way until the bottom of Nun Ches Amud Aleph. We'll try to get through that here. If anyone needs to leave in the middle, feel free. Okay. Amar of Yochanan, eight lines on the bottom. Amar of Yochanan, Maidik Siv. Yochanan said, what does it pasuk mean when it says, Asher Adam Efechei Tamid, Amak Sheli Bo Yipol Bera'ah. What does it supposed to mean when it says, praiseworthy is one who is constantly fearful, but one who is stubborn of heart, he will fall in evil. Kamsar Bar Kamsa, Charov Yushalayim, due to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Yushalayim was destroyed. Atanagola, Atanagolta, Charov Tormaka, due to the story of the male and female chicken, the mountain of Tormaka was destroyed. And Asaka Darispa Kharv Beitar, and due to the story of the carriage door, the town of Beitar was destroyed. The Gemara is now going to go through each of these stories one by one. So Akamsa Bar Kamsa Kharv Yushlaim, what's the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa that caused the destruction of Yushlaim? The Hu Gavar, the certain man, the Rachme Kamsa, he had a friend named Kamsa, Uvaldvavi Bar Kamsa, and he had an enemy by the name of Bar Kamsa. Avet Sudasa, so he made a certain, he made a Suda, made a meal, he was throwing a party. And Amar Lishami, and he told his servant, Zeal Isi Li Kamsa, please bring for me Kamsa, invite my friend Kamsa to the meal. Azal Isi Li Bar Kamsa, but the servant messed up, he accidentally invited Bar Kamsa instead. Asa Ashkei Davi Yasiv, so the host of the meal walked into his party and he saw his enemy Bar Kamsa was sitting there. Amar Leh, so he said to Bar Kamsa, Michti, wait, one second, Hu Gavar Baltvavar the Hu Gavar, who, aren't you my enemy? My boss, Acha, what are you doing here? Come, Po, get up, leave. Amar Leh, so Hu of Asan Shavkan, so Bar Kamsa said back, okay, maybe I shouldn't have come, but now that I'm here, please leave me, I'll pay for my spot, please don't kick me out, I don't want to be embarrassed, I'll pay you for what I eat. Amar Leh, lo. But the host replied, no, you got to get out. I can't bear to look at you here. Amar Leh, so Bar Kamsa said, no, please don't kick me out. I'll give you half the cost of the meal. I'll pay for it. Just please don't embarrass me by kicking me out. Amar Leh, lo. So the host responded, no, you got to leave. Amar Leh, so Bar Kamsa says back, please, I'll pay for the entire party. Amar Leh, lo. So the host says, no, you got to leave. Not to be dead. He grabbed him. The host grabbed Bar Kamsa in his hand. V'okme, he stood him up. V'afke, and he kicked him out of the meal, of the Suda. So Amar, ho, v'avu yasri rabbanan v'lamachove. So Bar Kamsa said to himself, he was furious after being embarrassed in such a disgusting manner. So he said, ho, v'avu yasri rabbanan v'lamachove. There were rabbis sitting there at the meal. And they didn't protest the fact that I was evicted. So Shmami not kanichaluhu. So it must be that they're fine with what this host did. So Ezel echelvuhu kortza beimak. I'm going to get my revenge. I'm going to go to the Caesar and I'm going to go and tell lashon hara about these rabbis to the Roman Caesar, the Roman government. So Azal, so he went. He went to Rome. Amar Leh Kesar, and he told their Caesar, Mar dibucha yudai. The Jews are rebelling against you. So Amar Leh mi emar. So the Caesar replied, okay, who says? Prove it. So Amar Leh, so he says, I'll prove it to you. Bar Kamsa said, I'll prove it to you, Caesar. Shadalu Karbana, send a carbon to them. And the law is, you know, Goyim can also bring carbonos. So Chazasi Markvin Leh. So Caesar, send a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. And see, watch, let's see if the Jews agree to offer it up or if they're going to insult you by refusing. So Azal Shadar Bidei Eglatilsa. So the Caesar said, fine, sounds like a good plan. So he sent Eglatilsa, you know, third-born calf, or a very precious calf, in the hands of Bar Kamsa as a karban. And Bar Kamsa brought it to the base of Migdash. However, Bahadi Tekaasi, as he was going, as he was on his way, Shadabe Muma Viniv Svasayim. He threw a tiny, tiny mum, a blemish, into the animal, in the Niv Svasayim, in the lips, in the upper lip. Or alternatively, in you know, part of the eye, Dukta Dlidan Avamuba, a place where for us we would consider it a mum. But for a non-Jew, it wouldn't be a mum. So the Caesar would say, you know, there's nothing wrong with this carbon, but for Bnei Israel, we would not normally want to offer a carbon like this, be a mum. So when Bar Kamsa arrived and he presented this karban, the Rabbanan wanted to offer it up, Mishum Shalom Malchus. Even though there was a mum, they were going to offer it up. However, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos, said to them, Yomru, Bali Mumin Kraven Lagam Mizbeach. You can't offer it up. People will say that you're allowed to offer a Bal Mum on the Mizbeach. We cannot offer up this pasul karban. Savar the Mikdash, the Rabbanan said, okay, so if we can't offer the karban, we also can't have this guy tattling on us to Rome and telling Lashon Hara about us that we didn't offer up this carbon. So several Mikdalei, so they said, okay, let's just kill Bar Kamsa. Dulaleis Ovalema, so he shouldn't be able to return to Rome and tell them that the Jews aren't offering up your carbonos. So Amalu Rabbi Zechariah, the same Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos said, Yomru, Matamon Bekachim Yeharig. People will say that we're killing him not because of the, you know, the bikuach nefesh involved or the potential danger to the kal, but people will think that we just killed him because he put a blemish in this karban. So no, we can't kill him either. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so they had to let him go, and he went back to Rome. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan commented Avsanusa Shah Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos Hachrivas Beseinu Vesar Vesechleinu Vigliseinu Meartenu. The Avsanus, the Nava of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos, destroyed the Beis Hamikdash and burnt the Heichal and was sent us into Galus from our land. And there's a lot of the Mefarshim will tell you what does it mean the Avsanus or Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos. What is the word what does Avsanus mean over here? Rashi over here says it means Savlonus. It means his tolerance. The fact that he tolerated this man to live. He tolerated Bar Kamsa to live instead of just killing him. The Maariv Chiyah says that it refers to it wasn't the tolerance per se, but it was actually like the anava, the fact that he was humble and basically was too hesitant to act in one direction or another. Sometimes, you know, psak is necessary, and Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulos had to see that, you know, that the Brachim Sheinish, you have to make a decision here. And he should not have let this get out of hand by allowing Bar Kamsa to return to Rome with this Lashon Hara. So Shadar Alayu Nero and Kesar. So the Romans sent Nero and Kesar to attack the Jews because they saw the Jews were rebelling since they didn't bring this carbon. So Kikaasi, so when he arrived, when he was on his way to Yerushalayim, Shadar Gira LeMizrach, he shot an arrow to the east, Asanaf LeYerushalayim, and the arrow as a simon went and it changed direction and landed in Yerushalayim. Lamarav, he shot another arrow to the rest, Asanaf LeYerushalayim, and the arrow again changed direction and somehow landed in Yerushalayim. L'Abrukos L'Shamayim, no matter what direction he shot arrows, shot them in all four directions, Asanaf LeYerushalayim, the arrows would change directions and fall in Yerushalayim as a sign that Hashem wanted him to attack it. Am Le'Yunuka P'suk Tli P'sukech, so he went over to that child and he said, tell me your pasuk, what pasuk did you learn in Cheder today? Also looking for another sign as to whether this mission was divinely ordained. Am Le'y, Nasatis Ningasiv Adom B'yad Ami Yisrael. So the child replied, I will place my nekama against Edom through the hands of my nation Bnei Israel, and basically Hashem's going to punish Edom for destroying the Jewish people. So the general realized that, oh wait, one second, what's going on? Hashem wants to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, so he's having me do it. He's having the Edomites do it. Hashem basically wants to destroy this Mish, and he wants to wipe his hands off on me. You know, he wants to wipe his hands off on the Romans, and he's going to come and punish us later for destroying the Beis HaMikdash. So he said, I want no part of this. So Ark v'azal v'igayr. So he went, he fled, and he converted to Judaism. V'navag minei Rabbi Meir. And one of his descendants was actually the famous Tana, Rabbi Meir. Okay, so one general down. They had to find a replacement to attack us. So Shadri Elayu l'Aspasianus Kesar. So they sent to find Aspasianus. Aspasianus went and he attacked us for 3 years. He attacked Yerushalayim for 3 years. Habibahanu Tlasa Atiri. There were three rich men in Yerushalayim at the time. Nachimon ben Goryon, ben Kabasvov, and Tzitzis Akises. Okay, three rich men. They went by these very interesting names. The Gemara now is going to explain each of these three names. So Nachimon ben Goryon, why was he called Nachimon ben Goryon? Shnakta locham bavuro, because the son actually stopped on his behalf. Those of you who have learned Tanis know the story, in order to enable him to pay back a debt. Ben Kabasvov, why was he called Ben Kabasvov? Called Nitlas basic Shurav, Kelev Yotze Kshusavea. He was called Ben Kabasvov because anyone who entered his house when he was hungry like a dog would exit completely satisfied, because he was such a machnas orchim, he would basically provide tons of food for anyone who needed. And thirdly, Ben Tzitzis Akises. Why was he called Ben Tzitzis Akises? Shaisa Tzitziso Negreris Al Gabi Kistos. Because wherever he walked, the tzitzis, the fringes of his garment were always lifted off the ground on pillows because he was so rich and so honored. Karim Vikistos. Igadami, alternatively, Shaisa Kistum will tell us Ben Gdoli Romi, he had this name not because of that, but because he was so chashuv that his chair was always placed among the great ones in Rome. He was a very, very influential figure. All right, so these three rich men, Chad Amar Lahu, during the Roman siege, Chad Amar Lahu, one of them said to the Jewish people, Ana Zayin Lahu B'chiti V'sari, I'm going to provide the Jewish people with wheat and barley. Chadam Lahu B'dechamer B'milchov Mishkan, the second one said, I'll provide the Jewish people with wine and salt and oil. Chadam Lahu B'detzivin, the third one said, I'm going to provide them with firewood. V'shabchur Rabbanim L'detzivin, the rabbis praised the one who donated the firewood. Why? Rav Chista called Kliyti Avimasa L'shami Bar M'detzivin, because Rav Chista, when he always used to put his servants in charge of any keys in the entire house, except for the firewood. Damer Rav Chista, because Rav Chista said, Akaba D'chiti Bai Shisa N'akaba D'tzivin. For every measure of wheat, you need 60 measures of firewood to complement it. All right, so between the three of them, Havlu, Lemezan, Esmin, Mechachat, they could have kept the city alive for 21 years with all the supplies that they had between the three of them. However, Havu, Behu, Ahanu, Biryoni, there was in Yerushalayim at the time these Biryonim, Rashi explains Biryonim, these were like, these rebellious figures, the warmongers, Anashim Rekim, Apuchsim, Lamachama, people whose only interest was just to fight, without any interest in the public welfare. Amlu Rabbanan, so the rabbi said, Nefok Benavit Shama Ba'adayu. So the rabbis wanted to make peace with the Romans. Lo Shavkinu, but these rebellious warmongers among the Jewish people, they refused. They said, no, we want to fight. So Amlu Nefok Benavit Kerva Ba'adayu. So they said, no, let's make war against the Romans, not peace. So Amlu Rabbanan, the rabbi said back, Lo Masei Amilsa, you're not thinking straight. We don't stand a chance against the Romans. We can't possibly fight them. So therefore there was this internal struggle between the Rabbanim and the Biryonim, and Kamo Kalinu Lanu Amri Dechiti Usari Baba Kafna. And the Biryonim wanted to force the rabbi's hands, so they decided, you know what? We're not gonna let this status quo go on where the siege is just going on and no one's actually fighting. But rather what we're gonna do is they went and they burnt all the storehouses of the wheat and the barley. And the Farshim explained, without the wheat and the barley you can have as much firewood or oil as you want, but there's nothing to eat. Baba Kafna, there was famine. And basically this was gonna be the force of war. Marta Bas Baisus, Atir to Yerushalayim, how bad the famine was. The Gemara tells a story that Marta Bas Baisus, a very rich woman at the time, Atir to Yerushalayim, Havia, she was one of the richest women in Yerushalayim. Shadarte Lishlucha, and she sent her Shliach to the market during this famine in Vamarlane. She said to him, Zil Isili Smita, bring me some fine white flour that I'm accustomed to. Ada Azla, but while the Shliach was headed to the market, is the van. It was salt. There was no white. By the time the Shliach arrived in the market, there was no fine white flour left. So he returned and said, there's no more white flour in the market. However, there is a lower quality flour, holy flour, the like. So she said to him, okay, so go bring me that flour. However, at Azalizban, while he was going to the market, it was salt. He returned and he said, there's no more of this chiyorta flour. All there is gushkura, which is an even lower quality flour. Bring me that. The shaliach goes back to the market, and while he's going there, is the bun. By the time he gets there, it's salt. He returns and tells her, there's no more gushkura even. All that's left is the barley flour. Bring me that. By the time he got there, even the barley flour was sold out because of this sudden famine that resulted from all these storehouses being burnt by the Biryonim. these warmongers. Havashlifa Masana. So at the time, Marta Bas Baisos decided, okay, I'm going to put on my shoes. Amra Ebog Bechzi Mishkafta Midal Meichal. I know I'm rich. I'm usually not used to going to find food myself, but I'm just going to do it. She decides to put on her shoes and go and look for food herself. Ezev La Parta Bekara Omesa. But however, she wasn't exactly so used to walking in the streets. She very quickly stepped in some dung in the streets. And she was so not used to something disgusting like that she died from the trauma of such a thing. Koyla of Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Yochanan ben Zakkai said about this, but this incident, Harakaba Chava Anuga, the fastidious amongst you, and and the soft ones, Sherlo Nisak Kafragla, who was not used to testing out her feet on the ground, Mesaneg Mariel, because she's so fastidious. The pasuk concludes, Tirai Na Bishka Kalva Vnava Yisa. Right? That she'll end up eating her own children in the famine, because the famine is just so bad. So Iyadami, alternatively, another version of the same story, Mat Bar Spices didn't step in dung, rather, Grogros to Rabbi Tzadok Akhla. She ate the Grogaris of Rabbi Tzadok, Vinisa, and that is what caused, and she was so disgusted by that, her body just rejected it, amazed that she died from the experience. What was the story of the Grogros of Rabbi Tzadok? So the Rabbi Tzadok Yosef Arban Shnin Mitani. So Rabbi Tzadok used to he fasted for 40 years. Lo lechar of Yerushalayim. He was fasting that Hashem should not destroy Yerushalayim. Bismanai during his lifetime. Kieva Achil Midi Av Miskazim Evrai. And he got so thin from his fasting that you could literally see the food go down whenever he were to eat something, presumably at night or the like. Kieva Bari Maisli Grogros. And when he finally was done fasting, and they were ready to heal him, as we'll see in the next Talmud. So Maisley Grogros, they would bring him, his body wasn't used to eating regular food, so they would bring him, figs and mites, mayayu, and he would basically suck out their juice because his body just couldn't handle eating the actual fig. Vashani luhu, and he would throw them, cast them aside. And it was one of these figs which Rabbi Tzadok had sucked the juice out of. That's what Martha found in the street, and that's what disgusted her so much that it killed her. She was dying. She took out all of her money, all the gold and all the silver, and cast it out into the streets. Amra hai lamayim bali. But she said, what use do I have for all this money? I can't even buy me flour. It's insignificant. Finally, and that's what the pasuk means when it says kaspam bachutzos yashlichu, that they would send their silver into the streets because what use is silver in famine and under siege? That's the end of that. So getting back to our story. So we have all this famine going on. And we have the rabbis who wanted to make peace, and then their biyunim are trying to make war. So Abasikra ish biyuni dushlayim. So Abasikra, who means the master murderer in Greek. Abasikra ish biyuni dushlayim. He was the head of the biyunim in Yerushalayim. Sikra like Sikrikon, by the way. Bar achte de Yochanan ben Zakkai hava. He was the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's sister. Shalachlei. So he sent Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Tabitzin Legabai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, let's meet with each other. Let's see if we can bring an end to this war. I'm the head of the rabbis, you're the head of the Biryonim. Let's see if we can come up with some compromise. Amalei, when they finally met, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he came, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Amalei, Ademas Avdisu Achi, Vikat Lisa Leila Amam Bekapna. How long are you Biryonim going to do this and kill the entire nation in famine? So Abasikra replied, Amalei, my Avid, what do you want me to do, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Diaminulu, immediately, if I try to say anything to these Biryonim that we shouldn't go to war, Katluli, they're just going to kill me. You think I have any power? Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, all right, I have an idea. Chazili tekantu lididi de epok, after the Avi Yatzel Laporta. So at least Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, do me a favor, and allow me to get out of the city. I know you guys are blocking all the exits, not letting anyone leave. So let me out. Afshar Dahavi Atzala Porta. Maybe, when I get out of the city, I'll be able to negotiate something with the Romans and arrange for at least, something of the city to be spared, to be saved. Okay, so Amalei, So Abba Sikra said to Yochman Zakeh, all right, if you want to do this, this is what you have to do. You know, I can't just tell the Biryonim to let you out because they're not going to listen to me. But what you can do is the following. Nakan Avshech B'Ktziri. Pretend that you're really sick. V'leisi Kuli Amma V'lishai L'bach. Have the whole town come and do Bikur Cholim by you to make sure that it's very believable that you're actually sick and that everyone hears that you're sick. But I see Midi Sargim, bring something disgusting, V'egni Gevach, and place it in your room. Something that smells really bad. V'leimru D'nach Navshech. And spread the word that you died. Of course, dead bodies, corpses smell really, really bad. So basically, by putting something disgusting in the room, people would assume that, oh, it must be true that Yochanan ben Zakeh really did pass away. V'layla b'cha taminech, and only let your talmidim who are in on the secret visit you. V'layla b'cha inesh achrina, don't let anyone else pick you up. L'rakshin b'cha dekalil at, because we don't want anyone else to notice that when they pick you up, that you weigh relatively light. The Inu Yadi, because they knew the Chai Kliyam Mesa, right? A person while he's alive, he apparently is lighter. He's lighter to carry him than it is to carry him after he passes away. Concept comes up elsewhere in the Gemara too. So Avad Achi. So only let your talmidim carry you. So Avad Achi. So they did this whole plot, pretending to be sick, pretending that Yochanan died. So Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua went, and one on one side, one on the other side, they went to carry Yochanan ben Zakeh out of the city. When they reached the entrance to the city, they wanted the city guards, the Biryonim who were guarding the gate, wanted to, you know, push Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakeh, to poke him a little bit with like a spear, just to make sure that he was truly dead. So he said to them, Abba Sikra told the guards, no, Yomru Rabban Daku, you don't want to get bad press. We don't want people saying that we stabbed their rabbi. It would not be appropriate. So the guards said, okay, let's at least push him just to make sure he's really dead. So Amalahu, Abba Sikra said to them, no, Yomru Rabban Daku. It's a chutzpah. You don't want bad press. People saying that you pushed around the rabbi, the rabbi who was nifter. It's not right. So Abba Sikra was able to convince the guards to let Yochanan ben Zakeh through. Paskalei Bava, they opened up the gate, Nafak, and Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua carried Yochanan ben Zakeh out of the city. Kimat Lhasim, when he reached the Roman camp, Amar, Yochanan ben Zakeh said to the Roman general, Shamalach Amalka, Shamalach Amalka, peace unto you, O King, peace unto you, O King. So Aspasianus, who was the Roman general at the time, he hears the greeting and he says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakeh, he gives him a look, Amalayim, Yichyat Tre Katla, Yichayiv Misa twice over. Right? Chad Adla Malka Na, Vikarkarisli Malka, how dare you call me King? I'm loyal to the current king in Rome, the current Caesar in Rome. I'm not the king right now. You can't call me king. You're Chayiv Misa for being married to Malchus. And number two, Vesui Malka Na. If I'm really king, Ada Inna My Loas is like goodbye. Well, what took you so long? You should have told me earlier that I'm the king. So Yochanan Zakeh replied the following: I'm a lady. Come on, love Malka Na. In regard to that, what you said that you're not king, Ivra. Indeed, Malka'at, you must be a king. Dila Malka'at, because if you were not a king, lo mimsu Yishlam Yidach, b'yadeh, Yishlam would never be given over into your hands. Iksiv, as Buzik says, v'avanon ba'adir yipo. The Levanon will only fall into the hands of an adir. Vein adir elamelech, and an adir is a reference to only a king. Iksiv, as Buzik says, v'yadiro mimenu. Vein Levanon al beis Migdash, nemar ha'aretov azev alvanon. The word Levanon refers to beis Migdash, the word adir refers to a king. It must be that Levanon ba'adir yipol means that only a king can conquer Yerushalayim. So that's why I called you a king. You must be a king. My law costs like a vine. In regard to your question about if you weren't a king, why didn't I come until now? The Biryonim, these warmongers amongst us, just would not let me leave the city. That's why I couldn't get here till now, even though I wish I could have. So Amalei, so Aspasianus said back to Yochanan ben Zakeh, Ilu chavet shel dvash v'darkon karchalev. If you have a barrel of honey and a snake wrapped around it, lo yushoven es chavet b'shvil darkon. So you wouldn't break the barrel open just to get rid of the snake, right? So Rashi explains, kachay lehem l'chashkes chomas ha'ir v'sorf ha'ba'esh ki l'hashak ozim biryonim mitocha. You should have even burnt down the city to get rid of these biryonim. Right, it wasn't worth keeping the city around so long as these biryonim are there. You should have taken care of them. So ishtik. So Yochanan Zakeh was silent. He had no response for this to the suggestion that he should have killed the biryonim earlier. So along with the city. So Karile Rav Yosef, Itim Rav Yekiva. So Rav Yosef, or alternatively Rav Yekiva, cited the following pasuk about this incident. Meishu Chacham Machorva Daitam Yisachel. Hashem will sometimes turn Chachamim around and cause them to lose their seichel, to lose their da'as. Ibai Le Lememar Le. He should have told Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Should have said to the. Should have said to Aspasianus, Shaklin and Tzaptis, Shaklin Le Darko and Vikatlin Le, Vachavisa Shavkin Le, that we take some tongs and we pick up the snake and throw it out and we kill it. Vachavisa Shavkin Le, and the barrel will be left intact and we can leave it around. Basically, you said that the only solution was to basically throw out the baby with the bathwater, right? To get rid of the snake by destroying the barrel. I have a better idea. Why not just get rid of the snake and leave the barrel around? You know, I was hoping we could somehow save the barrel and still get rid of the biryonet. But Lemaisa Yochanan Zakkai did not reply that. So meanwhile, as the conversation's going on, he just remained silent. And Adahachi, while this was happening, Asa Pristikar Lei Miromi, suddenly a letter arrived from Rome, Amarlei, and they said to Aspasianus in the letter, come, get up, return to Rome, Demesalei Caesar, the Caesar, the current ruler in Rome, the Caesar has just died, V'ami Anu Chashivi De Romai Lo Sivach Bereisha, and the Chashiva guys in Rome, I want to appoint you as the next Caesar. Okay, so Aspasianus, at the time of Chaim Chaim Nesanai, as they were reading the letter, he was in the middle of putting his shoes on. He had already just put on one shoe. Balam Isaim Yachrin, and he tried putting on the second shoe, low aisle, and he just could not get it on his foot. Balam Mishlef Al-Idach, so he wanted to take off the first shoe that was already on his foot, low nafak, and he couldn't get it off. So Amar, he said, Ryogaman Zaka, you're standing here, tell me, Maihai, what's going on? Why are my shoes suddenly not fitting me anymore? So Amar Le Yochanan Zakkai said, "Lo titzar, don't worry. Shmua tova asiyah l'cha. It's all because you just heard some good news." The Ksiv, as Pasuk says, "Shmua tova tidashen etzem." That good news can cause a person's bones to swell, to widen. Somehow that's why his feet became fatter and his shoes no longer fit. Okay, alamai tekante. Rather, what should I do to make my shoes to make the shoe fit once again? You should take out a prisoner who you are disgusted by. Have him walk in front of you. The Ksiv, as the pasuk says, "V'rognecha lowly spirit yavesh karm," will dry up bones. So basically, if you want your feet to go back to their regular size, just get bring out something that will get you a little bit depressed. So Avad Achi, Aspasianus did this aisle, and it worked. His shoes now fit him once again. Amalei, so he said to Yochanan Zakkai, "Miachat Ramisu Kaleis." Whoa! After you, I can see that you're really a brilliant man. I didn't have my loas isu lagabai. So why didn't you come until now to tell me I was king? So Yochanan Zakkai said, "We spoke about this already." Amalei, "Lo amilcha." Didn't I respond to you? Amalei, "Nanami amilcha." And I said, and I asked you my question, right? Why not break the jar in order to get rid of the snake? So either way, whatever. That's the end of that conversation. Amalei mezal zilna. So I'm going to go back to Rome now, as Pasiana said. I was appointed new Caesar. I'm going to go back to Rome. And they're going to send another general in my stead. You got me in a good mood. You told me I was king. So tell me, what can I do for you? Give me a couple wishes that I can fulfill. Amarle, so Rav Yochanan Zakkai made his three famous requests. He said, "Tainli Yavne v'chachameha." Give me the city of Yavne. It was the seat of the Sanhedrin at the time. Tainli Yavne, or would be. Give me the city of Yavne and its chachamim. Shushelta to Rabbi Gamliel, and please spare the house of the Nasi, the descendants of Rabbi Gamliel, from killing them when you destroy Yerushalayim. Vasvasa demasin le the Rabbi Tzadok, and please also give us doctors to heal Rabbi Tzadok. From all his fasts that we read about an Amud ago. Karli Rav Yosef, Yitim Rav Kiva, Rav Yosef, or ultimately Rav Kiva said, this is another example of Meshiv Chacham Machor V'Datam Yisachel. Sometimes Hashem turns Chachamim's heads backwards and causes their das to be like sichlos, to cause them to lose their minds a little bit and make mistakes. Yibay L'meimar Lei L'Shbekinu. V'Yomen Zach, I should have just said, Lishbekinu Adazimna, spare us, abandon your siege on Yerushalayim. Why didn't he ask for more than what he asked for? But what was Yochanan Zakkai really thinking? It wasn't just Sichlos. He was thinking, Dilma Kuli Ailo Avid, but Selaporta Nami Lohava. You asked for too much, and you don't get even a little. He was nervous that if he asked for the siege to be lifted, Aspasianus would have said no, and then he wouldn't have even been able to save Rabban Gamliel's family. He wouldn't have even been able to save Yavne, which ended up being such a crucial part of Bnei Yisrael's future after the Chorban, and he wouldn't have been able to save Rabbi Tzadokim. Okay, fine. So continuing on. So the Gemara then just clarifies, what did these doctors do for Rabbi Tzadok? How did they heal him? So as Vasa Damasin later, Rabbi Tzadok, Mahi, what did they do? What did the doctors do? So this was their regimen. Yom HaKamash Kiyu Amai Depari. The first day after his fast were over, so they fed him Maya Depari, bran water. Lamachar Maya Desipuka. The next day they fed him water that had other higher quality flour soaked in it. Lamachar Maya Dekimcha. And the next day they fed him water that had flour in it. Ad Ravach Maya Porta Porta until his stomach slowly but surely expanded, slowly more and more and more and more, and then he was healed. All right. Azal. So next part of the story, Azal Shadr the Titus of Russia. So now that Aspasianus was gone and returned to Rome, the Romans sent to Titus. Titus of Russia, Titus the famously wicked Roman general. Vama and Titus said, "Hey Elohima, where is their god Tzorchas Ayubo, the rock in which they take safety in, that they've relied on?" Said Titus of Russia, Shechir v'gidev klape mala. This refers to Titus, the wicked, who blasphemed and cursed towards God. He said, "Where is their God? Masa, what did he do? Tafa zona biyado. He took a prostitute in his hand. He took a zona in his hand. Nechlas beis kodesh hakadoshim, and he entered the kodesh hakadoshim. Mitzias sefer Torah ever le'avera. He took out a sefer Torah and he had his way with the zona on top of the sefer Torah in the kodesh hakadoshim in the base of Megdash. If that weren't enough, Natal Sai Fegidar Saparochas, he took a sword and he stabbed the Parochas in the base of Mikdash, or the Parochos, according to other Girsos, the many Parochos. Vinasanason, it was a miracle that happened by Yadam Vatres Yotze, and Hashem caused a miracle to happen, and blood actually poured out from the Parochas. The curtain in front of the Kodesh Kadashim, Vyotze, Vikasava Harakas Atzmo, and he thought, "Oh, whoa, I actually succeeded in killing God himself." Shnamar, this is what the pasuk means when it says Shagutz Aracha Bekerav Moadecha Samuos Osamosos. Your enemies are cheering in your ultimate gathering place, and they're giving significance to their signs. This refers to Titos giving significance to the sign of the blood pouring out of the Kodesh Kedashim. Titos actually thought he had killed God himself, according to this Medrash. All right, Abachanan Omer. Abachanan said, "Michamoch Chasin Ya." What does the pasuk mean when it says, "Michamocha chasin ya, michamocha chasin v'kasha"? Who are like you, O God, who are so strong, that you can be so strong, God, that you can hear the blaspheming and cursing of this wicked man and be silent? That takes true strength. That's what it means that God is strong. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel taught, "Michamocha ba'elim Hashem." What does it mean that who is like you among the Elim? Literally means among the gods. Michamocha, or among the strong ones. So Michamocha be'ilmim. Don't read it as Elim, rather read it as who is amongst you in terms of the silent ones. That Hashem, you have a special power to remain silent even in the face of those who are insulting you in a tremendously denigrating way. So Ma'asa, what did Titos do after this? Natal Esa Parochas, he took the Parochas, he took the curtain in the base of Migdash, that protected the Kodesh Kadashim, Asokimin, Gigosni, he basically turned it into a sack, turned it into a sal, some sort of a pail. A baby called Kim Shemigdash Vinicham Behen, he basically used it to gather up all the Kalim, so Migdash placed it inside of the Parochas. Moshivan Misvina, and he placed it on a boat. Levak the Shabbat Miro to go and have a victory parade in his city. Shnemar Zbazik says, "V'chein Reisi Rishim Kvarim." Navi said, "I saw wicked people." Literally means burying. Uvo, and they were coming. Umakum Kadoshi Aleichu, and they're coming from a holy place. Vishtakl Beir Sherkin Asu, they'll be forgotten in the place which they did this. The Gemara is a drasha. What does this pasuk mean? So Altakri Kvurim El Kvutzim. Don't read it as burying, but as gathering. These Rishim, these wicked men, were gathering. The Kalim, they're gathering the Kalim. Atagri Vishtaku, and don't read it as they'll be forgotten, Ela Vishtaku. Rather, they will praise themselves. They'll have victory parades and the like. So again, this pasuk is a reference to Titus gathering up the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash in order to go and praise himself and his soldiers through a victory parade in Rome. Or alternatively, don't make the first change in the pasuk. For a mamish, it actually should be read as burying. A miracle happened, and Titus was able to find even the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash that were hidden, buried underground. Somehow he was able to ascertain their location, and he literally dug them up. So they were kvurim, they were burying and unburying, and they took even those kelim too. All right, so Titus is now ready to go back to Rome. Amar Olav Nichshol Shabiyam. However, on his way back, Ruach Sa'ara, a hurricane wind, a very strong, powerful wind, came forward in the sea, Litovo, and was going to sink his ship. Amar, so Titus said to himself, Kemadumani, it seems to me, so Kim Shal Elu, the god of these Jews, in Gerusal Abamayim, he only has power over the water. Baba, how do I know this? Well, just look at history. When he had to destroy Paro, you know, he sunk him at the Yamsuf. When Sisera was attacking, right, he sunk him by water as well. He's going to defeat me also over water. And Gibrahu, if this God of the Jews is truly a powerful God, Yala the Abasha of Yasmi Milchanim, let's see him fight me on fair territory. Let's see him fight me on ground. Let's see if he can beat me on ground. Yetzla Baskel Vermelo, and Baskel went on and said, Rasha ben Rasha, wicked person, the son of a wicked person, Menosh Elase of Rasha, the grandson of, descendant of Ace of the Wicked, Barrier Kali Yeshli Bolami, I have a small creation in my world. Vitoshma, it's known as a gnat. My Karli Barrier Kala, why is it called a simple creature? The Gemara comments, why the Baskel call it a simple creature? The Ma'al the Isla, because it has a digestive system, Mafkan Elase, but it doesn't even have an excretory system. All right, so this simple creature, Alali Abasha, Etasi Ma Mechama, Alali Abasha, go on the ground, Titus, and let this gnat do battle with you. Let's see who comes out on top. So Alali Abasha, so Titus went and he went onto dry land. Ba'itosh v'nichnas b'chotmo, and the gnat went, and entered in through his nostril. V'nakab mocha shavashnim, and it spent the next 7 years chewing at his brain. There's one day that Titus, while suffering all these headaches with this gnat chewing at his brain, so he passed by a coppersmith's gate, Shamakal Zafta, and he heard the sound of a hammer, of the coppersmith's hammer, Ishtik, and that somehow managed to silence the gnat to stop him from chewing. So Amar, Tito said, "Iget dekanta." I finally found a solution to my headaches. Koyom amaisu nafka. So every day he'd bring a coppersmith, the machuk amei, and that coppersmith would bang in front of him. V'nachu yavle arbezuzi. If it was a non-Jewish coppersmith, he'd pay him 4 zuz. L'Yisrael amar leim istiach tikar chazis v'sanach. So if it was a Jewish coppersmith, he wouldn't even bother paying him because he said it's enough reward for you just to see your enemies in such a troubled state. With me getting all these headaches from the net. Atlasim Yom Navarachi, he tried this coppersmith solution for 30 days. Mikanvela came into Dash, then the net got used to it, and this solution did not work anymore. Tanya the Bryce says, I'm repentless Ben Arov, Ani Isi Ben Gidoli Romi, I was hanging out amongst the Chashev people in Rome, said Rabbi Pinchas Ben Arova, Ogshemes, and when he died, I was there when Titos was Nifter, and they opened up Patsuas Mocho, they opened up his brain. They opened up his skull, Matsubo Gitzibor Dror Mishkal Shnei Salam, and they found inside of his skull a gnat that was the size of a Tzibor Dror, the weight of 2 sela, basically a small bird. That's how big the gnat had gotten from chewing on his brain. Masisatana, according to the Brisa, Kigoza Ben Shnana, it was the size of a pigeon that was a year old, Mishkal Shnei Litrin, which was the weight of 2 litrin. Okay, Amar Bayabai said we have Mesorah Nakin, Pivshel Nechoshes, Vitziponim Shabazo. We have a Mesorah that somehow the mouth of this bird, whatever this means, was made out of Nechoshes, and its nails were made out of Barza. Okay, Kevakamayas, when Titus died, Amar Lehu, so he said to the He said to the Romans who were taking care of him, "Likliu Allahu Gavra Vivadri Likitme Ashevi Ame Vilishke Lakadi Yodai Vlog Me Bedina." So Titos's last request was that he shouldn't be buried regularly. Rather, he said, "Please cremate me, burn me, and then spread my ashes across the seven seas." Ashevi Ame. Because I don't want the God of the Jews, I don't want the God of the Jews to find me, and be able to stand me up in din, up in Shemayim. Okay, so what happened to him after this? So Onklas Bar Klonikos, we actually have a special insight as to what happened to him. So Onklas Bar Klonikos, Barachte de Titos Ava. So Onklas Bar Klonikos was the son of Titos's sister. By Ligure, and he wanted to convert to Judaism. Unclear if this is, some Mepharshim say this is the famous Onklus, other Mepharshim say the dates don't really work out, it's a different Onklus. Either way, this Onklus wanted to convert. Azal Aske Letitos Benegida, so he used some form of magic, Rashi says Ove magic, to call up Titos and through this necromancy. And he asked Titos the following, Amalei Man Chashev Buama, who's Chashev in the next world, Titos? Now that you're in the next world, tell us, do you regret what you did? Who's Chashev in the next world? So Amalei Tito said, Yisrael, the Jewish people. So okay, Tito, so what do you think? Should I cling to them? Should I convert? So Amalei, so Tito said back, Nilaun, Ephesian, Lamatzakimu, you don't bother. They have a lot of different laws, a lot of halachos, and you can't possibly keep them all, Unclus. Zil igayri igri behu bahu alma. I'll give you a better idea, Uncles. Instead of converting, go and attack the Jews in this world. Vavis ration. At least you'll become a leader in this world. In Olam Hazed. The Ksivas Pasuk says, "Ayu tzarah l'rosh." Anyone who attacks the Jewish people becomes a leader. Kol meitzi Yisrael nasa rosh. Anyone who attacks the Jews becomes powerful. So, if you take a look in that Gos Etzion, they explain because if Hashem is going to subjugate his nation to someone, he might as well make it a powerful nation. You know, it doesn't want it to be said that the Jews were subjugated to lowly nations. So, therefore, people who attack us usually, according to this, become powerful themselves. Okay, so Onklas asked Titos, "Amalei Dina du Gavra b'mai." So just curious, Titos, what was your din like in Shemayim? How were you punished? So Titos said, "Amalei b'mai depasik anafshe." I'm being punished with exactly what I asked for. Kol yom every day, michnishi lay lekidme. They gather up my ashes from across the seven seas. Vadaini lay and they judge me again. Vekalu lay and they burn him. Vivdu asheva yami and they go and they spread his ashes again. Every single day, Titos gets judged again. And then cremated again, and then his ashes are spread across the seven seas again and again and again and again. Okay. So he could not escape divine judgment. Azal Askele Bilam Benegido. So now, after speaking to Titos, Onklus went and he called up a couple of other famous historical non Jews or Jews. So Azal Askele Bilam Benegido. He started by calling up Bilam through this Ove necromancy again. So Amalei, and he asked Bilam, "Man chashev u'alma, who's chashev in the next world?" Amalei Yisrael. So Bilam said, "The Jews are chashev in this next world." So Ma'alid Bugi Behu, should I cling to them? Should I convert? Amalei Yisrael, to Jerusalem, Shlomam, and Tevasam, Kol Yimim. Flipping the pasuk, literal meaning on its head. Bilam said, "Don't seek out their shalom or tova, at any point in time. Don't seek them out at all." Amalei Dina Du Gavra B'mai. So Bilam, what are you being punished with in the next world? Amalei b'shichva zera rotachas. He was being punished in a pot of boiling shichva zera because Bilam was famous for causing the Jews to sin through znus with the benos midyan. So he was punished in kind through this pot of shichva zera rotachas. All right. Azal askei b'negidah l'poshe Yisrael. So after calling up Bilam, Onklus decided, why not ask a Jewish sinner what his thoughts were? So he called up Yeshu, he called up Jesus through this same Ove necromancy. Amalei man chashev hu alma. So he asked Jesus, who's chashev in that next world up in Shemayim? So Amalei, so he replied, Yisrael, the Jews are. So ma'alud buki buhu. So what should I cling to the Jews? Should I convert? Should I not? So So Amalei, so Jesus replied, Tovasam Drosh, seek out what's good about them, Rasam Los Drosh, but not what's bad about them. Konegevan, Kilo Nogeva, Seno, anyone who touches them, anyone who attacks the Jews, it's as if he touched his eye, it's painful. So don't touch them, don't have anything to do with them. So Amalei Dina Duhu Gavra B'mai. So Jesus, in what way are you being punished in this next world? Amalei Betzor Tachas, in a pot of boiling excrement. Amar Mar, as Mar said, Kol Mal Gadibe Chamim Nidol Betzor Tachas. Anyone who laughs at the words of the Chamim is judged in boiling excrement. And the Gemara just comments parenthetically, Tachas Ima Ben Poshe Yisrael in Vi Umos Olam Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Go and see the difference between the sinners of the Jewish people, because Yeshu Yeshu was willing to say that you should seek out what's good about the Jewish people. In contrast to the Levi, Umos Olam of the Avodah Zarah, the non-Jewish prophets, even the prophets, still were not willing to say that there was anything good to be found in the Jewish people. Right? Los Drosh Shlomam V'Tovasam Kol Yamim, in the words of Bilam. Okay. Good. Sorry, I lost the place. All right. Tanya, so Bryce says, I'm Lazar. Lazar said, Bo Rei Kamei Gedolah Kol Kol Shel Busha. Commenting on this whole story now that we've taken it to the end. Looking back, this whole story of the whole destruction of Beis Hamikdash began with what? The story of Bar Kamsa and Kamsa. And you see from here, come and see Kamei Gedolah Kol Kol Shel Busha. You see how powerful the concept of embarrassment is, because when Hashem saw that Bar Kamsa was embarrassed, as he was by this disrespectful host, Kadosh Baruch Hu assisted Bar Kamsa in avenging himself, even if it meant destroying the Beis Hamikdash and sending Bnei Yisrael into Galus. Okay, that is the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. If you remember at the beginning of the Gemara, though, we said there were three stories that we had to discuss. Kamsa and Bar Kamsa was only the first of them. Again, that it was an explanation of the pasuk Ashri Adam Vachet Tamid Makshali Bo Yipol Bara. A stubborn person will fall in badness and ra'ah. So Kamsa and Bar Kamsa was one example of that. Now we get on to the second example of a stubborn person, a group of people who ended up falling due to their downfall was caused by their stubbornness. So Tarnagolov Tarnagotachov Termarka, this is the story of the chicken and the female chicken and the rooster, I should say whatever. Yeah, the male and female chicken, the rooster and the chicken, that Termarka was destroyed. Davanuhigi, they used to have a practice in this place. Kevu Mafki Chasna Vikalsa, when a Chasna and Kal used to go out. Mafki Kamayu Tanagolta Vitanagolta. Kloma Pruvu Kitanagolta. They would have chickens walking in front of the Chasna and the Kala, as if to say that it should be a simon that they should have many kids, they should be fruitful and multiply like chickens. Yomachad, one day, Havu Kachalif Gunda Duramai, a certain Roman legion was passing by. As they were, doing this chicken ceremony, and shaklinu minayu, and they stole the chickens. And the Jewish people were so upset, how dare you interfere with our minog, naflo layu mechonu, and they killed all the Romans who stole their chickens. Asu amrele, the kesar marduch abiyudai, the word reached the kesar, that the Jews are rebelling against you, they just wiped out a Roman legion. Asa layu, so the Caesar attacked. Habu bar droma, there was a certain man, bar droma, some say that means that he was very athletic. Others say it means that he was from a town south of Yerushalayim. The Vakavat Mila Vakatabahu used to be able to jump a full mill and attack the Romans, and kill the Romans in that process. And Shakle Kesar Latage, the Caesar saw he was losing the battle, so he took his crown, Vosei Ara, placed on the ground. Amar, and he said, Ribone Dama Kule, Master of the Universe, Inicha Lecha, if it's good in your eyes, Lotim Sreilu Hu Gavra Lidze, Malchusi Bide, Dechad Gavra. Don't place me and my entire kingdom in the hands of one single man. And Hashem heard this prayer, and Achshle Pume Le Bar Droma, and this Bar Droma, this athletic soldier, he messed up and said something improper. What did he say? V'amar haloa talu kims and achtanov los tzeil kims tzavaseinu. He said, God has abandoned us.
and is not walking among our armies. And the Gemara says, wait, why is this such a controversial thing to say? David Nami Amarachi. David also said this. He's quoting a pasuk in Tehillim. So the Gemara replies, no. David at Mui Kamitma. David was saying it sarcastically. What, God is not with us? Of course not, he is with us. Whereas this guy was saying it quite literally, that he didn't think God was with us in battle. And therefore, Alave Sakisi, there was one time that this athletic soldier was going to the bathroom, Asa Darkona, a snake came out, Shamte the Karkashe, and bit off his rectum, Benach Nafshe, and killed him. Alright, so the Caesar saw this happen, he said, whoa, Amar Hovis Rakashe Nisa, since there's clearly miracles going on here, Hazim Nash Bekinu, I'm going to leave the Jewish people alone because of this miracle that just happened. Shavkinu, so he left them. Vazel Izdekor Rachlus Shasu Vadlikiyu Shargi Adiskazet Beyond the Gushbank Brichug Mila. So the Jewish people celebrated. They saw, oh my gosh, the Romans abandoned us. They're not attacking anymore. Let's party. Let's celebrate. So they went and they ate and they drank. They lit candles, and it was so light at night from the celebrations that you could see the signet on a ring, a full mill, a full 18-minute walk away from where the lights were. Amar Mitzvah Chadubi Yudai. The Caesar saw this. He's like, wow, one second, time out. I didn't agree to this. I agreed not to attack them. I didn't agree for them to be partying and making fun of me like this. Hadar Asar Laiu. So he went back and he attacked them again. And they were totally not expecting it this time, and many, many Jews were killed as a result, as we'll see. Amar Vazi said, Trasmia Alfi Shlifi Saifa Ailu Tormalka. 300,000 sword bearers entered Tormalka, Roman soldiers. They massacred the town, the mountain, for 3 days and three nights. On one side of the mountain, they were still celebrating, and they didn't even realize that on the other side, their brethren were being slaughtered. Okay, Pasuk says, Bala Hashem v'lo chamalos kol na'os Yaakov. Hashem swallowed, he consumed, and did not have compassion on all the dwelling places of the Jewish people. Kiyas Rav and Rav Yochanan, Rav and Sending, Rav Yochanan, Elu Shishim Ribu Airo, Shailo Lianai Melech Var Mouth. This verse is the 600,000 cities that Yanai Melech had on Tor Malka, Har HaMelech. Dam Rav Yudam Rav. Because reviewed a set name of Rav, name of Ravasi, Shishim Ribo Iro Sayilu Liana Melch Bar Melch Vachalat Sayiba Kiyot Mitzrayim. Each one of these 600,000 cities that Yanamelch had 600,000 cities, and each one had at least 1.2 million people. Chutz Mishlosh Sayiba and Kaflaim, except for three of them that had double that amount of Kiyot Mitzrayim. They had 2.4 million people. Each one of them had 600,000, except for three that had 1.2 million. Eluhein, what were the names? Kfar Bish, Kfar Shachlaya, Kfar Shachlaim, Kfar Dechaya. Where did these three names come from? Kfar Bish, Lo Yavi, Beis Lushpis. They were called Kfar Bish because they never gave a house to somebody who needed a lodging. They were not Machnas Orachim. Kfar Shachlaya, why were they called Kfar Shachlaya? Shaisa Parnasasim and Shachlaim, because they made their Parnasa off of crest. And Kfar Dechariah, why were they called Kfar Dechariah? Rav Yochanan, said, "Shayin Shosayin Yoldos Zecharim Tchilav Yoldos Nekev Achrono Poskos." They would each give birth to one son, one daughter, and Zeu. Amar Ula Lidichas Lihu Asra. So Ula commented, "I saw that place. Vafilu Shisim Mevasa Kani Lamachzik. There's no way that 1.2 million or even 600,000 Jews live there. It can barely fit 600,000 reeds. There's no way it could fit 600,000 reeds." So Amalehu Tzeduki the Rabbi Chanina. So a certain Tzeduki heard this comment, and he said to Rabbi Chanina, "Shkuri Mishakrisu." Clearly, the rabbis are lying, right? The Tzeduki said, "Clearly, the rabbis are lying. If this place couldn't hold this many people, it couldn't even hold 600,000 reeds. There's no way it held this many cities of this many people." So Rabbi Chanina replied, "Amalei Eretz Tzvi Ksiv Ba." No, Eretz Yisrael is compared to an Eretz Tzvi. Whatever this means, matzvi ze ein or machzik es besaro. Somehow, just like a deer, once you take off its skin, if you skin a deer, you can't unskin the deer. You can't put the skin back on the deer because the skin shrinks and will no longer fit the deer. So too Eretz Yisrael also, its size changes depending on the time in history and the need. When there's a lot of people on it, it expands. When there's no one dwelling in Eretz Yisrael, it shrinks. And that's why it seems very small right now, but in the times when it was being settled, there was plenty of room for all those cities. Okay. Rabbi Yumin Bar Chalkia, Rav Chilkiya, Rav Tovia, Rav Huna Bar Chiya, Rav Yasi, Gabi Adadi. These three chachamim were sitting next to each other. Amri, and they said to each other the following. So let's tell the tales of another town, the town of Kfar Sechanya Shel Mitzrayim, another town that was destroyed by the Romans. So what can we say? What do we know about this town? So let's each tell a story. So Lema. So Pasachad Minai, one of them opened up and he said, "My sabaros are sasa shenash rabbeinu over the klavim." We see him zel zel. There's a story about a man and a woman who were betrothed to one another, and they were captured and taken captive by the Romans, by the non-Jews. They were married off one to the other. So Amr Lo, so the girl said to him, please, Al Tigabi, don't touch me. Shainly Ksuba Mimech, because we're only betrothed, we don't have a Ksuba. I don't have a Ksuba from you yet. Velo Nagabad Yomoso, and he controlled himself and didn't touch her until the day of his death. And when he died, they said to she told the mourners, Siftu Lazeh, you should mourn this guy. Shapit Bibi Yitzro, Yosef Yosef. You mourn him that he was able to control his Yitzhar even more so than Yosef at Tzadik. Yosef because Yosef only had to control himself for 1 hour, right, at one time when he was with Potiphar's wife. But this guy, my husband, had to control himself each and every day. Yosef and Yosef only had to control himself in the same house as Potiphar's wife. They were never in the same bed. But here we were in the same bed. And Yosef couldn't be more heter that Potiphar's wife was his own wife. Whereas this guy, my husband was actually, he was married to me. Just we didn't have a ksuba. So he had, could have been more heter for himself and said, oh, really, it's not such a big deal. But he didn't. So he was, he had more control over himself than Yosef at Tzadik. Pasach Yidach V'yamar. Okay, that's story number one. Story number two. Ma'aseh Amdu Abayim Modios B'dinar. There's a certain story where 40 Modio coins usually sold for a dinar. Nechzar Shar Modiachas. And the exchange rate was thrown off by one Modia. By literally 2.5%. Badku Matsu Apavano Shabbat Anam Rasab Yom Kippurim, and they figured, wait, if Hashem is making the exchange rate change, it must be that there's some avera that's leading to this change in the economy. So they went and they searched the town and they found that there was a story of a father and a son that had relations with a Nara Marasab Yom Kippurim, a horrible avera. They had relations with this betrothed Nara on Yom Kippur. They viewed them based in Misakal, and they brought them into Basin and gave them Skila. Bechazar Sharlim Komo, and this town was Zocha to such Ashkacha. They were watched so closely by God that the moment that they took care of these sinners who were among them, the economy returned to where it started. The exchange rate returned to where it was originally. Okay, Pasach Yidach Vamar, that's story number two. Story number three now. Pasach Yidach Vamar, the third Chacham said, Ma'is Vadam Sha'echot Shanasa Neinu B'Ishto Lugarsha. Story of a certain man who wanted to divorce his wife. Isaac Sebasa Meruba, but her ksuba was just too expensive. Ma'asa, so he had a brilliant idea. Halach Vazimin as Shushpinav, he invited his friends all over for a party. Vachilan Vishkan, he gave him food, he gave him drink. Shichron, he got him drunk. Vishkivan Al Mitachas, and while they were out, they were totally wasted. He picked up their bodies and he threw them onto the same bed as his wife. The Havi Loven Beitza, and he brought some egg white and Hitel Beinayim, and he spread the egg white in between between his friends and his wife to make it look like there was Sheikh Vazara between, to make it look like she had committed adultery with him. Behamid Lahan Edom, and he found witnesses that saw the scene. Uvala Beis, and he took them all to Bezdin so that he could divorce his wife without having to pay her ksuba by saying that she committed adultery. But luckily there was a man named Bava ben Buta there. He was a Talmud of Shammai. Amar Lahen, and he said to the Bezdin, Kach Mekublani Mishamai Zakein, I have a Mesor from Shammai that Loven Beitza Solid Mina Or, Vishikhvazera Doka Mina Or. Something seems fishy about this white stuff that was found in the bed. I have a Mesor that if it was really truly egg, then it wouldn't, if it was really. Sorry, if it was really Sheikh Vazera, then if you held up a fire to it, it would get absorbed into the sheets of the bed, as opposed to the egg white, which would like crust on top and not get absorbed into the sheets when there was a fire placed near it. So Badgu, they brought a candle over, and Umatsu Kedvarv, and they found, oh my gosh, whoa, this is not Sheikh Vazera, this is just egg white. Aviv the Basin Vilku, and they brought in this evil man who tried to come up with this whole plot. They gave him Makos, Figbuk, Subasim Imenu, and they forced him to pay the Ksuba, as he rightly should have. Okay, Amalei Abaye, the Rav Yosef. Abaye said to Rav Yosef, from the fact that, after we see that they clearly were such tzaddikim and willing to, you know, clearly were tamini chachamim, clearly were people who were willing to uproot any small amount of avera in their midst. Ma'atam Anosh, why are they getting punished? Why are they getting punished so horrendously? Why did they get punished so horendously? So Amar Lai Mishum Dlo Ebo Al Yerushalayim Prasachani Shal Mitzrayim and Tormak were punished because they did not mourn Yerushalayim properly. Tiksiv, as Pasuk says, Simchu Es Yerushalayim V'Gilu Ba Kol Aveh Sisu Atamasos Kol Masavlim Alah. Rejoice Yerushalayim, rejoice all those who love it, right? Get very, very happy all who mourned for it. Those who mourn for Yerushalayim now will be zocha and deserve to rejoice for Yerushalayim when it will finally be rebuilt in the future. Okay, that's story number two. Again, story number one, Kamsan Bar Kamsa. One story of stubbornness leading to really, really bad outcomes. Story number two was the story at Tormalka, the chicken, the male and female chicken, how they stubbornly wiped out the Roman legion, and how that led to Tormalka being destroyed, and another really bad outcome. And now story number three of stubbornness leading to bad outcome. Saka Derisbach Karv Beitar, due to the lady's carriage door, Beitar was destroyed. Davinahigi, they used to have the practice, Kevin Missilid Yanuka, when a baby was born, Shasli Arsa, they'd plant the cedar tree, Yanukta, when a baby girl was born, Shasli Tornisa, they would plant the pine tree, Pravominsvi, and when the boy and girl would get married, Katsilu, they'd cut down the trees, Vavdil Ginnan, they'd make a chuppah out of these trees that were planted at their births. Yomachad Avakachalva Barate, the Kesar, there was one time that the Caesar's daughter was passing through town. It versak the Rispak, and her carriage broke. The carriage door broke. Katsuars of Ailullah, and they cut down one of these special trees to fix, to get wood to fix her carriage. And the Jews got really upset. Asunaf Olayu, the Jews of Beitar got really upset, and they, Mechonu, wiped out the Roman legion that was accompanying the Caesar's daughter. Asunaf Amalei the Kesar, Marduch Apel Yudai, Asolayu, and of course the Caesar found out. They told him that the Jews were rebelling, didn't give him any context to why the Jews wiped out this legion. They just told him the Jews were rebelling, and of course Asolayu became attacked and wiped out Beitar. Okay, God of Achariyav called Karen Yisrael. He uprooted in his anger all the Karen Yisrael, all the fighters of the Jewish people. So, what does this refer to? So, Amar Rabbi Zeir Amar Rabbi Yochanan Elu Shmonim Elef Karnei Melchama. This refers to the 80,000 horons of war that Nechlish and Nechlish Lukrach Beitar Rishash Alchtua. So this refers to 80,000 horns of war that entered the town of Beitar when it was conquered. They killed men, women, and children. Until their blood was so plentiful and flowed so freely that it actually reached all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. Unless you think that Beitar was close to the Mediterranean, Rechok Isamil, it was a good 18 minute walk away. It was a full mile away. Nevertheless, it was so much blood that it flowed all the way to the Mediterranean. Tanya, the Brisa says, Rabbi Lezer Gadol Omer, Rabbi Lezer Gadol says, Shnei Nechom Yish B'Kas Yadayim, Echad Moshech Elach, V'Echad Moshech Elach. There are two rivers in this town, in this area, Bekas Yadayim. One flowing this way, one flowing that way. And the Rabbanan measured shortly after Beit was conquered, and they discovered that only two-thirds of the river was water. One-third of the liquid in the river had become blood. In the Brisa they taught, the Brisa taught that for the next 7 years, the non-Jews in the area didn't have to fertilize their fields because there was so much Jewish blood, so many nutrients in the water from the Jewish blood, that they didn't even have to bother fertilizing their field for the next 7 years. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rishua ben Karcha. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin said in the name of Rishua ben Karcha, Sakhli Zakin Echad me Anshi Yerushalayim. A certain Zakin from among the Anshi Yerushalayim told me the following. It was in this valley that Nebuzaradan, the master slaughterer, killed 2,110,000 Jewish people. And in Yerushalayim he killed 940,000 people, 11 achas, on a single stone. Until their blood flowed forth and touched the blood of Zechariah. To fulfill that which the pasuk says, "Dam v'dam nego," that blood will touch blood. Okay, Ashkelon made Zechariah davka martach. What's the story? Why on earth was Nebuzaradan causing so many people to be killed? So he found he entered the base of Megdash, and he found the blood of Zechariah that was boiling. It was just sitting on the ground boiling, because the Jews had killed him. They were upset that he had been rebuking them. They were upset that he was giving them Musar. They were upset that he was telling them what to do. So they killed him on the spot, and his blood just sat there boiling. And Nebuzaradan saw it, and Amar Mai Hai, he said, "What's going on? What's this blood that's boiling on the floor?" So Amar Lei Dam Zvachim Dishtabach, the Kohanim tried to lie. They said, "Oh, it's just some Karbanos blood that's spilled." I see Dami Vlo Admi, he said, what do you mean? Look, here's the sheep's blood, here's this blood. They don't look the same. Human blood looks different. It doesn't look like sheep's blood. Amar Lehu, so he said to them, "Yem Risu Li Mutav, if you tell me with a real story, then God, I want to know what's behind this boiling blood. Otherwise, I'm going to comb off your skin with metal combs." So Amri Lei, my name Lecha. So the Kohanim responded, "What are we going to tell you? There was a certain Navi amongst us who was rebuking us about heavenly matters. We basically attacked him and killed him because we didn't want to have to listen to him. And his blood has been boiling ever since. And refuses to rest. So Amalu Nebuzaradan said, I'm going to appease him. I will appease this dead Navi's blood." So as his Sanhedrin Gedolav Sanhedrin Gedana caught the lie, so he killed the Sanhedrins upon that rock right by the blood of Lonach, and the blood did not stop boiling. Bachorim Ubisulos caught the lie of Lonach. He killed young boys, young men, young maidens, and the blood still did not stop boiling. As these snookles were based around, he brought young school children in. Katalei, below Nach. He killed them there, and the blood did not stop boiling. Amalei, he said to Zechariah, Zechariah, Tovim Shebehen Ibadtim, I've destroyed the best of the Jewish people. Nichalecha, Devdenu Lekulu, do you want me to destroy all of them? You know, when is enough enough? Kidamalei Haki Nach. So when they told Zechariah, when he said this to Zechariah, the blood finally stopped boiling. At that moment here, Tshuva B'dayte, he realized in his mind a thought of Tshuva, and he said to himself, "Wait a second, Umam al Amar Umam al Nevesh Achas Kach, who gave the Katak Kohan and Yishmas al Achas Kama V'Kama? If such a miracle occurred for, you know, the blood kept boiling just because of one person who was murdered, just think what, you know, Nebuzaradan's going to get for killing these millions and millions of people on this rock." So he said to himself, so Arak, he ran away. Azal Shadashtar Patar to the Bivesa, he sent to get his wife, or a shtar that explained, you know, or will to his wife in his household, the geyer, and he converted to Judaism. Tana, the Braisa says, Naaman ger toshev haya. Naaman was a ger toshev. Naaman was the general who Elisha healed in Sefer Melachim Bet. He became a ger toshev, observing the Shev Metzitz B'nai Noach, presumably. The Vizardan ger tzedek haya, and Vizardan actually converted to Judaism. He was a ger tzedek. Bnei Banav Shel Haman, the descendants of Haman, loved the Torah, Bnei Barak, were teachers of Torah in Bnei Barak. Bnei Banav Shel Sisra, loved the Togos B'Yushalayim. Sisra had descendants that taught Torah in Yushalayim. Bnei Banav Shel Zancheirv, loved the Torah, B'Rabim, and the descendants of Zancheirv taught Torah in public. Right, just because someone's evil doesn't mean that their descendants won't become great. And Man Inon, Shammai V'Avtalion, this refers to Shammai and Avtalion, who are descended from Zancheirv. And this story of Nebuzaradan is what's referred to by the following pasuk. Hainu diksiv, nasati estamal tzchiach selai, place their blood on the smoothness of the rock, levihi kasos, without being covered. Okay. More gadatas. Kol kol Yaakov, aydam yidei Esav. So the voice is the voice of Yaakov, but the hands are the hands of Esav. Kol zeh adrinos kesar. Al-Pidrush, this refers to the voice of Adrianus Caesar, Sharag Alexander, Shem Mitzrayim, Shishim Rebo, Shishim Rebo, Kaflaim Gios Mitzrayim. He killed 1.2 million people in Alexandria. Kol Yaakov, more people crying out from Bnei Israel. Zeh Aspasianus Caesar, this refers to Vespasian. Aspasianus, like we said before. Sharag Bekrach Betar, Abameos Rebo, he killed 4 million people in Betar. Ramilar Basel, Paim Rebo, or alternatively 40 million people. In Beitar, right? Daimide Esav, what does this refer to? The hands of Esav, Zumalchus, Arisha, this refers to the Roman Shechrivis, Beisena, who destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, Vesarfas, Echelenu, and Bert Dehechav, Iglisenem, Yatenu, and sent us into Galus. Davarach, or alternatively, Akolko Yaakov, what does it mean? Akolko Yaakov, Ein Lecha Tzvila Shemuel, Shein Bamizaro Shel Yaakov. Daimide Esav, Ein Lecha Melchama, Shenotzacha, Shein Bamizaro Shel Esav. Kol Kol Yaakov means that any single time there's a successful prayer in this world, some descendant of the Jewish people was involved in that prayer. Yidayim Yidei Esav, what does it mean? That the hands are the hands of Esav. Any successful battle that's fought in this world had some descendant of Esav that played a role. V'hainu Dhamma Blathar. Okay, fine. Period. Getting back to the earlier discussion of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Hainu Dhamma Blathar, this is what Rabbi Lazar meant when he said, B'shot Lashon Dechaveh, B'chachori Lashon Dechaveh, it's through slandering. All these stories, people slandered the Jewish people to the Romans, Kamsa Bar Kamsa, all the people who told lies, the Jews are rebelling, it's through lies of language, B'chachori Lashon, through Lashon Hara, that's where true punishment and that's where true tragedy results. Okay, from these slanders. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, my diksiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, the pasuk that we all sang together earlier tonight, on the rose Bavel, Shem Yashavnu, Gam Bachinu, Bezachreinu as Tzion, on the rivers of Bavel, there we sat, there we cried, as we remembered Tzion. So you see from here that Hashem showed David HaMelech the two Korbanos, the Korban Bayis Rishon and the Korban Bayis Sheni, because of course David lived long before the Jews were sitting in Al Naros Bavel, right? He lived long before Galus Bavel. So you see from here, according to the Gemara at least, that Hashem showed David B'Nevuah, the Korban Bayis Rishon and the Korban Bayis Sheni. Korban Bayis Rishon, what does it mean that he showed him Korban Bayis Rishon, Shnemar Al Naros Bavel, Shem Yishav Gam Achinu, and how do I know that Hashem showed him also the Korban Bayis Sheni, Ksiv, Zechor Hashem L'nei Edom, Eis Yom Yushalayim, the end of that Mizmor, Hashem should remember for the descendants of Edom, the day of Yushalayim when they destroyed it, Hamurim Aru, who were cheering themselves on, Adei Sodba, who wanted to destroy Yushalayim all the way to its foundation. So you see that David HaMelech knew both about Galus Bavel and about Galus Adom. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Vitamer Viyami. Or alternatively, Viyami said this, Rav Yehuda Masi Satana, or alternatively, it was said in a Braisa. Maisa, there was a story of Adalbios, Yeladim, Yelados, Shanashvu, Likalod. A story of 400 children that were taken to be used for as prostitutes, as zonos. Higishu Batzman, the Mahin Misbakshin.
And they sensed why they were being taken captive and how they were going to be sent to Bate Zonos, these boys and these girls. And Amru, they said to themselves the following, Imanu Tovim Bayam. They said, if we drown in the river, if we commit suicide by jumping out into the sea, not the river, the sea, will we get Olam Haba? So Darshan Agadol Shebehen, so the greatest among the eldest amongst them, or the greatest amongst them, made the following drash. Amar Hashem, Hashem says, Mibashan Hashiv, Hashim Sulos Yan. Sorry, Hashim Sulos Yan. What does it mean, Mibashan Hashiv? I'll return them from Bashan. The drasha says it means Mibain Shnei Arya Hashiv. I'll return them even from the between the teeth of a lion. Hashim Sulos Yan, Elon Shetova Mayam. Hashem says, I'll return them from the depths of the sea. This refers to those who drown at sea. Hashem will return them as well. They'll also have a chelek in Olam Haba. They'll also have a chelek in what is to come. Even if they were eaten by lions or sunk at sea or drowned at sea. Kiv and Sheshamu Yilados Kach, when the girls heard this, Kafzu Kula and Nafla Tokoyam, they all jumped off the ship and into the sea. Nasu Yiladim Kavachoma Beatzman, so the boys drew a kalvachomer for themselves. Zomer, when they said themselves, ma'alolu shadark on the kach. So if the girls are jumping off, right, where it's normal for, unfortunately, for girls to be taken for prostitution, kach anu, but boys, where it's much less common for that to occur, ain darkeinu lekach. It's common, the fact that we're being taken for this purpose, that's all the more disgusting, all the more so we should jump off. So afem kafzu tolayam. So they all jumped into the river, into the sea, and died. And Tosa talks about why they were allowed to do this. Normally a person isn't allowed to take his own life in that situation, certainly not to kill himself. He says that had they not done this, according to at least one of his answers, they would have been subject to great torture. And there is a heter for suicide sometimes in such a case. But this wasn't just Stam, a case of the big three or the like. Because even that won't be matter, a person committing suicide or taking one's life. Was never allowed to do that. And about these children, the Pasuk writes, Kilach Aradnu Kol Hayom, Nechshavnu Kitzon Tivcha, for we have been killed for you all day long, Nechshavnu Kitzon Tivcha, we were considered like sheep led to the slaughter. People just dying all over the place. Yehuda says, no, this medrash actually refers to something else. Zui Shor Sheva Benav, this refers to the story of the woman and her seven sons. What's the story? Asu Elikam, they brought the first one in. They committed the case in front of the Caesar, and Amrulay, and they told the son, Pachavos Chavim, go worship of Odazara. Amrulahu, so the son replied, Kazab Torah, know the Torah writes, and Ochi Hashem Lekecha, I am Hashem your God, Avku Vikatlu. They took out the son, and they killed him. Asu Elidach, they brought her second son in, and committed the case in front of the Caesar. In front of the Caesar, Amrulay, and they said to him, Pachavos Chavim, go worship of Odazara. Amrulay, Kazab Torah, he said back, it's written in the Torah, Lo Yelachal Kimachirim Alpanai. There are no other gods in front of me, so I cannot worship this Avodah Zarah. Avkuva Kalua, they took out the second son to be killed, and they killed him. Asulia Ilidach, they brought in number three. Amulay, they told him, Plachavos, come worship Avodah Zarah. Amulahu, so the third son said back, Kazab Torah, the Torah writes, Zaveach Lokim Yacharam, one who shach serbanos for other gods, will be destroyed. I'm not serving Avodah Zarah. Avkuva Kalua, so they took him out and killed him. Asulia, they brought in number four. Amulay, they told him, Plachavos, come, go worship Avodah Zarah. Amulahu, they said, so he said back to them, Kazab Torah, the Torah writes, Hus shach melachelachar, don't bow to any other god. Avkuva Kalua, they took him out and they killed him too. Asulia, they took this woman's fifth son. Amrulay, and they told him, Plachavos, come, go worship his Avodah Zarah. Amrulahu, so he said back, Kasab Torah, Torah writes, Shema Yisrael, Shema Gidin, Shema Chad. Pazuk is Shema Yisrael, Hashem is our God, no one else. Avkuva Gidluah, they took him out, and they killed him. It's Yuli Yidach, they brought in number six. Amrulay, and they told him, Plachavos, come, go worship Avodah Zarah. Amrulahu, so he said to them, Kasab Torah, Torah writes, Yatata Yom Shosav, Achlik Yashem, Hulokim, you should know this day and bring it instill in your hearts, return it to your hearts. For Hashem is your God in the heavens above and on the land below. There's no other God. I'm not doing Avodah Zarah. Avku Vikatlu. They brought him out and they killed him. As Yuliach, they brought out son number seven. Amrulay, they told him, go worship Avodah Zarah. Again, this is the final son. Amrulahu, he says to them, no, Kasab Torah, Hashem Amarta Yom, Hashem Miocha Yom, Hashem, you have chosen today, and Hashem has chosen you today. We've already sworn to God that we are not going to switch him for any other god. And he has sworn to us that he will not trade us for any other nation. So I am not doing Avodah Zarah. The Caesar obviously embarrassed that all the seven sons had not done Avodah Zarah, tried pleading with this last one before killing him. So let's make a deal here, okay? It's going to be really, really embarrassing for me if you don't do Avodah Zarah, because, you know, I can't have you guys all rebelling against me. So I've already killed the other six kids, but at least you, please, I'm going to take my signet ring, v'gachen, and just bow down a little bit, v'shakle, and just pick up my ring. So at least even if you're not doing Avodah Zarah, it'll look a little better. It'll look like you're actually listening to me, the king. It looks like you accepted some element of my authority upon you. So the seventh son replied, Amalei, chavalach kesar, chavalach kesar. You know, woe to you, O Kesar. I'm sorry for you. You're so worried about your own kavod, your own honor. Worry about God's honor, right? Worry about what it's going to look like if it looks like I'm bound to Avodah Zarah and betraying God. So he refused. So Avkul the Mikle, they were taking him out to be killed. Amr Lahu Ime. So his mother said to him, Yavu Neli, give me my son, Venchike Port, let me kiss him up a little bit before you kill him. Amalo, and she said to him, Bini, my son, Lichu v'imru l'Avram Avichim, go and tell Avram your father, when you get up to Shemayim, tell Avram Avinu atar kat mizbeach echad. You set up one mizbeach, you did one akeda, v'ani akati shiva mizbechos. I had all my seven sons die al kiddush Hashem. I set up seven mizbechos. Afi also l'gag v'naflo mesa. She went up to a roof and she fell and died in grief after losing her seven sons. Yatzabasko v'amraim ben imsmecha, and Abasko went out and said, the mother of the children is happy. She's in a better place in the next world. She's happy that her children died al kiddush Hashem. Rishuban Levi said, Zumila shenitna v'shmini. This pasuk of Elacha Arug Nikol Hayom, that the Jews are always dying to do mitzvos, this refers to Mila. Rashi explains, because once in a great while the child dies from the Mila. Nevertheless, the Jews continue to do bris Mila. Shimon Lakish said, Eilu Tamei Chachamim Shemar Nechol Shechita Ba'atzman. This refers to Tamei Chachamim that demonstrate Shechita on themselves. Not a good idea. Damar Rava, as Rava said, Kol Mili Lichsiyanish B'Nafshei, a person can demonstrate anything on himself, Bar Mishchita V'Davar Acher, except for Shechita and Tzaras, because Tzaras is very, you know, an illness that is, whatever, spiritual illness that is very easy to jump on a person. You don't want to even come close to getting it in any way, so don't do anything on your body to look like it, you know, to demonstrate Tzaras, whatever that means, being Ein Harv or Tzaras, unclear. Okay, he had a different drasha about this pasuk. What does it mean that we're constantly dying for Torah? This refers not to any of the above per se, but to the fact that Tamidei Chachamim are constantly killing themselves, metaphorically, for Divrei Torah. Yerushim and Lakish, as we all know, Yerushalakish is famous drasha. Yerushim and Lakish, Ein Divrei Torah Miskaimin, El Misha Memes Asma Olam. Torah only lasts in one who's willing to kill himself over it. Shnamar Zosa Torah Adam Ki Yemus Ba'Oel, Zosa Torah Adam Ki Yemus Ba'Oel. The more committed we are to it, totally passionate for it, the more that it clings to us and sticks with us through dedication. Amar Rabbi Baruchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Baruchana said the name of Yochanan. Another tragic element to all these stories. Abayim saw kitzutzei tefillin nimsu b'rashi aruge beitar. They found 40 saw of tefillin batim, of tefillin cases, on the heads of those who were killed in Beitar. Alternatively, they found actually three piles, each with 40 saw in it. Or 40 piles with three saw in it. Below Pligi, and in turn, not the last two brises, but at least the first brise and the latter two, which one gave a measurement of 40 saw, the other one gave a measurement of three sets of 40 saw. There's no machlokes. Hadresha Dadara, one's referring to Tefillin Shalosh, the other one's Tefillin Shalyad. Rashi explains that the tefillin shell rosh is a lot bigger because the four parshios are in four different batim and takes up more space, whereas the four parshios are all in the same bias and the tefillin of the yad. So therefore, the piles of the tefillin shell rosh were three times as large. There were three times as much volume of them as the tefillin shell yad.
Amar Rasi, Rasi said, Arba kavin moch, nimtzu alavin achas. They found four kav of brain splattered onto one stone. Ulamar Tisha kavin ula said it was actually nine kav of brain. Amar Avgana vitema shila barmari maikra. What pasuk refers to all this? Bas bavel shduda, ashrei shalim loch, ashrei shiyoches v'nipites ulalayach el hasela. Bas Bavel, the wanton one, praiseworthy is one who takes your children and in vengeance splatters their babies against the rock to avenge all the Jewish babies that were killed. Bnei Tzion Haikarim, Amsalam, but pause. The Jewish people who were precious, who were covered in gold. My Amsalam, but pause. What does it mean, Mislam? It means that they were covered in gold. Literally, it doesn't mean they were literally rich. They weren't covered in gold because of the three shares of gold that came down in the world, of the two shares of gold that went down in the world, one went to Rome, one went to everyone else. Rome had half the world's wealth. Ella, rather, what does it mean? Doesn't mean the Jews were wealthy. Ella Shah Yumin Ganis the Pazbiopion. Rather, it means the Jews were so beautiful. They're so pretty that they used to make gold look ugly. They used to have a practice. There was this belief that when a couple had relations, they looked at something beautiful, the children that resulted from those relations would be beautiful as well. And back in the day, they used to take signet rings and have relations in front of signet rings, because signet rings were precious, they were very nice, you know, made out of gold. But once the Jewish people were sent into Gaulus, they stopped using signet rings and instead used the Jewish people. They would tie them to their beds as they had relations and look at the Jews because the Jews were prettier than the gold. Amalahu, obviously a disgusting fate for anyone who had to endure that. Amalahu Chadachavre, so one such boy who was in such a disgusting situation asked his friend, Hai Chaksiva, where is this punishment alluded to? So Amalei Gam Kochli V'chol Makar She'lo Kasuv V'Sefer Torah Azos, Hashem tells Bnei Yisrael in the Tocha that even the sicknesses and makos that are not mentioned here will also be brought upon the Jewish people if they sin, and even the ones not mentioned in this Torah. So Amar, so one, the other one said back to Israel, Kamar Marchikna Mikduk Taplan, how far am I from that place? Amalei Ingid Yisai Pusto Pago, you're just enough. If you had just been learning for another couple of days in yeshiva, you would have gotten there just a page and a half away, then a column and a half away. So Amalei Yimata the Gebei Lo Tzricha Lecha, if I had gotten up to that pasuk, it would have been obvious to me that this is what it was referring to. I wouldn't have needed you to tell me that, because this is such a disgusting and hard fate. Amar Vid Amar Shmuel, if you'd have said the name of Shmuel, Mishum Amar Shemeng Gamliel. The name of Shemeng Liam Maidik Siv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Eini Olalal Nafshimi Kolbenosi Ri, my eyes cry out for my soul from all the daughters of my city. This refers to Arbi Up Meos, Bate Kinesio, Saibikach Beta, the 400 shuls that were in Beta, Vicholas Vasai Bar Meos, Lamis Drogos, each one containing 400 teachers, Vicholacha Yufana Bamios, Snogos, and each one of the teachers had 400 kids, Shabbat Rabin, Vishai Oiv Nicholas, Shama, Yogan, Sam, Chudrayan. When the non Jews, when the enemies entered, they were stabbing them with their staffs, with their spears, Shagavar Oiv. And when the enemy conquered them, they wrapped up these kids in their svarim and they burnt them in fire. Despite the fact that there were, again, 400 shuls of 400 teachers, with each with 400 students, a tremendous, tremendous tragedy. Okay, Tanabana Bryce says as follows, Maishri Shuban Chananya, Shalchakach Gadol Shabaromi. Shuban Chananya went to the big city in Rome. Amrulau, Tinok Achad Yesh Beis Asurim, Yafei Naim Vitov Rovi, Ketosav Tzus Lo Tatalim. So he heard a rumor that there was to be found in one of the jails there. Apparently they found this beautiful kid with beautiful locks of hair, a nice face. Halach Laman Al Pesach Beis Asurim, so he went to the jail in Amar and he said, Mina Sanlim Shisai Yaakov Yisrael Bo Zim. He had a feeling, he had an inkling, that this kid was a Jewish kid. So he said, who is it? He went to the entrance of the jail and he said a pasuk to see if there would be a response. Mina Sanlim Shisa Yaakov, who has caused Yaakov to be overrun, Yisrael Bo Zim, and Yisrael to be plundered. What was the response? So the Tinok, this beautiful kid, replied, Ana oso Tinok, v'amar, he said, the Tinok cried out, Halo Hashem, zuch atanu lo, it was God. We sinned him, v'lo avu b'drachav, and we did not want his ways. Halok v'lo, shamu b'toraso, we walked and we did not listen to his Torah. So Rishmo ben Chananya said, Mevdechani bo shemor rabbi Yisrael, clearly this kid is very, 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 very righteous. He's going to be a Mora HaRab Yisrael someday. Avoda by God. I'll pay whatever it takes to redeem him. And he ended up paying a ton of money to redeem him from captivity. And again, this is a general. In general, we have a rule: we don't pay for captives more than Yosef McDay today, man. But this is an exception to the rule. Tosfos writes because it could have been maybe it was a case of Sikanos the Fashos, or maybe it was a case of a Talmid Chacham was different. But this was an exceptional case based on that situation. Okay. This little kid, this beautiful little kid, he grew up to be Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, the famous Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, unfortunately, not only did he himself have a rather crazy childhood, but his children also did. His son and daughter were captured. Shnashmu l'shnei adonim. They were captured by the Romans and sold to two different masters. One time, their two owners happened to meet up in a certain hotel. And each one of their two masters, the son's master, the daughter's master, they were each bragging to the other one. Oh, you know, I have the best slave. He is the most handsome slave in the whole world. Oh, well, you think that? I have the most beautiful maidservant in the whole world. So Amru, they said to themselves, wait a minute. Bonusim says that, great idea. Why don't we marry them off to each other? Nechag b'flanos, the kids will be beautiful, and we'll be able to sell them as really valuable slaves. It will split the profits. Ignizim l'chedis, they took these two, they took these two children of Rishmael ben Elisha, the son and the daughter. They put them in a room. Zeh yashav b'keren zeh v'zeh. One of them sat in one corner. Zeh yashav b'keren zeh v'zeh. The other one sat in the other corner. Zeh omer ani kohen ben kohenim gedolim. They each cried in their corners. One of the son cried in his corner. He's crying away. He's saying, ani kohen ben kohenim gedolim. I'm a kohen. The son of Kohanim Gedolim, Asa Shivcha, and I'm a Kohen, the son of Kohanim Gedolim, and I'm about to be married off to a maidservant. Bezosamaris, and the other one said, is in her corner, and she's crying, any Kohenes bas Kohanim Gedolim. I'm a Kohenes, the daughter of Kohanim Gedolim, and Asa Levit, I'm going to be married off to a slave. Uvachu Kolai, they cried all night long. Kevin Shalomot HaShachar, once dawn broke, he accused as that they saw each other, and they recognized each other. Venaflu Zelzeh. They fell on top of one another, and they cried and cried and cried until they died that night. Balein Konin Yirmiyah, was about them that Yirmiyah lamented, Al Ela Anivokya, Ini Yordamayim. It's about them that I'm crying, my eyes are pouring out water. Amrei Shlaki Shalashalaki said, Mais Bishachas, Utsavnas Bas Peniel Shema, another story about the Jewish hostages that were, Jewish captives, sorry, that were taken. Tzavnas Bas Peniel was a certain beautiful woman. Tzavnas, why was she called Tzavnas? She called Tovin Biovia. Everyone used to stare at her beauty. Bas Peniel, she's called Bas Peniel. Bito Shokoin Gadol Shimesh Levnaiv Levnim. She was the daughter of the Kohen Gadol who had served in the inner sanctum of the Beis HaMikdash in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this beautiful Tzavnas Bas Peniel and the Shashinus Alba Shavai called Lila, she was ravished by her captives all night long. L'machar Hilbisha Shiva Chalugim, the next morning after they captured her and had their way with her all night, so they dressed her up in seven shirts, seven dresses, Votziya L'mochar, and they went to try to sell her. If what they did already wasn't bad enough. Ba'adamecha Shoyim Achor B'yoser, a certain disgusting man went over, and Amar Lo, and he said, oh, you're trying to sell her? Harinius Yovia, show me how she looks. I don't trust you that she's beautiful. Amar Lo, so they said to him, Reka, empty-headed one. If you want to buy her, Shinki Yovia B'chol Olam Kulo, trust us, she's the most beautiful woman in the whole world. Amar Lo, so the guy said back, I will begin, nevertheless, I want to see what I'm buying before I buy her. So if Shita Shisha Chalukim Shri Karasa, so he took off the upper six garments, and when they got to the seventh garment, she ripped it off herself. And his pasha be'efer, and she jumped down into the dirt and waddled in the mud. Amr, and she said, the father of Ribono Shel Olam, master of the universe, how can you let this happen? Malenu lochas, if you don't have compassion on us, Akdusha Shimcha Agibor Lama Losachos, at least have compassion on yourself, on the Kedusha of your name. It's a tremendous chol Hashem that these things are going on. And the daughter of the Kohen Gadol is being sold as a regular maidservant in such a disgusting manner. Allah Konin Yirmiyah, it was about her that Yirmiyah lamented, Basamicha Grisak, the daughter of my nation, wearing sackcloth, this palshi be'efer, and wallowing in the dirt. Eva Yachad Asilim Espeid Tamarim, I made a singular mourning for him, a bitter eulogy, Kipisom Yavoa Shudet Aleinu, for suddenly the plunderers will come against us. Alech lo nemar, doesn't say against you, the Jews, Ela Aleinu, rather against us, both the Jews and God, as if it's to say alive Alech HaBashodi, that the plunderers are coming not only against the Jews, but against God himself. Last story, Yom Yudim Rav, Yudas and Nim Rav, Ma'adik Siv, what's the Pasmin that says, Vashku Gever, Veso Ish, and Achlaso, they managed to swindle a man and his entire household, a man and his Nachala. What is this referred to? The story of a man who set his eyes on a certain woman, he was an apprentice, and he set his eyes on his master's wife. He was the apprentice of a wood chopper. And there's one time that the wood chopper, the master, fell on hard financial times. He needed to borrow some money. So the apprentice said, oh, you know what? I'll just send your wife over to my house. I'll give her some money and she'll bring the money back to you. So he sent his wife to his apprentice. And the apprentice kept the wife back for 3 days at his house. And the master went to his apprentice and he said, Amalo, Ishi Shishigarti Lacha, Heikanhi, where is my wife that I sent to you? Apprentice, where's my wife? I sent her to you 3 days ago. So the apprentice said, Amalo, Ani Petotili Alter, I actually sent her out of my house immediately. He lied. And the apprentice spread a rumor and he said, oh, but I heard that the lads on her way home, they had their way with her. She committed adultery on her way back with some lads that she found on the way. Amalo ma'asa. So the master said, well, okay, what should I do? What do you advise? Amalo metashmei leitzasi girsha. So the apprentice advised. He was a very conniving and cunning apprentice. And he said, oh, I advise that you divorce her. So the master said, Amalo ksubasim ruba. You expect me to pay her ksuba? She has a huge ksuba. How am I supposed to pay that? I can't divorce her. So the apprentice said, Ani alveich, I'll lend you the money. Betein leksubas, you just pay the ksuba. So Amal zev girsha. So the master went and he divorced this woman, and halachu v'nasa, and the apprentice went and he married her. He basically stole his master's wife through this trickery. Not only that, but the master still had to pay the ksuba to his wife, who was now married to the apprentice, and he now owed the money of the ksuba to the apprentice. And of course, eventually the time came, he didn't have any money to pay. Amalo, so the apprentice suggested, you go become my servant, and you'll be my servant, and that's how you'll pay back the debt. So the apprentice was now eating and drinking and rejoicing with his new wife. And this master, who had now lost everything, he lost his wife, he was now a servant, his former apprentice, he's serving them, he's serving as their attendant, and there are tears that were pouring from his eyes, the noflos pekosein, and those tears fell into their cups, but osashah, neschatim gzardin, and that's what really sealed the Jew's fate. Obviously, it wasn't that wasn't the only thing, but that was like the final, the straw that broke the camel's back, ended the Gzar Din against Yerushalayim. For Amila, or alternatively, Al-Shtei Psilos Bnei Rechad, it was on the fact that the Jews were committing the sin of two wicks and one candle, which was is a metaphor for adultery. Okay.